This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 1st, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 110. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Big Deal feature. A two-year investigation into a shadowy political data company from Victoria is finally over, as Aggregate IQ broke privacy laws. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or is it time to swallow your pride and bite your tongue and applaud Donald Trump for signing two new laws in support of Hong Kong? But please don't swallow your tongue. In the wake of the landslide win for pro-democracy candidates in Hong Kong municipal elections last weekend, there are two new American laws. A bipartisan bill requires the State Department to ensure that Hong Kong retains its autonomy in order for it to enjoy special trade status. The U.S. can impose sanctions if there are human rights violations. Trump also signed a bill that bans the export of tear gas, pepper spray, rubber bullets, and tasers to Hong Kong. China was obviously not amused, but the support from American lawmakers put smiles on the faces of millions of Hong Kongers. Meanwhile, where is Canada's Trudeau Liberal government? There are 300,000 Canadians in Hong Kong who need Canada's support. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. Liu Zhen reports for the South China Morning Post, China tests killer drones for street-to-street urban warfare, plans sales overseas. Tianyi quadcopter, built by a subsidiary of a state aerospace corporation, is designed to carry out ground-level reconnaissance and precision strikes in cities. The unmanned aerial vehicles are still under development, but once ready, could be available on the international market as a cheap and versatile option. The makers say the drone, which is designed to be controlled by soldiers on the ground, has an operational distance of 5 kilometers and has a vertical range of 6 kilometers. It will be fitted with infrared and laser detectors to enable night surveillance operations and armed with two 50-millimeter rockets designed to strike from a distance of up to 1 kilometer. Aubrey Weber reports in the Anchorage Daily News, Anchorage will explore building a garbage incineration plant to tackle landfill capacity concerns. The Anchorage Assembly approved the use of $100,000 to fund a plan to detail how the city would build a waste-to-energy trash incineration plant. It's an early step in a project that city officials estimate would take 7 to 10 years to come online and cost more than $300 million. The city's landfill, located in Eagle River, has an estimated 42 years left on its life. An incineration plant could increase the landfill's life to 177 years and produce 20 to 30 megawatts of power at peak capacity. There are 75 garbage-burning plants in 25 states. Isabella Higgins of ABC News Australia reports, Indigenous groups' $290 billion compensation claim could become one of the world's biggest payouts. The Noongar people of Southwest Australia are pursuing more than $290 billion for spiritual damage caused by loss of their traditional lands. The figure would be almost a quarter of Australia's gross domestic product of $1.4 trillion and more than West Australia's gross state product of $259 billion. If the action is successful, it would put it in the range of a landmark $206 billion U.S. payout made by the tobacco industry to governments across the United States in 1998. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Seattle Times, what happened to Paul Allen's billions a year after his death? It's not clear. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen intended to give away the majority of the $20 billion fortune he amassed. From Seattle Seahawks and Portland Trailblazers fans to connoisseurs of fine art and pop culture, to nonprofits, real estate investors, and academic and scientific leaders, what will be kept and what will be sold? What form will the promised philanthropy take, and what will its focus be? When will it all happen? Ellen's mega yacht, Octopus, was put on the market for $325 million, as was a Beverly Hills development property and an estate in Atherton, California. Another large yacht, Tatouche, a villa on the French Riviera, to Georgia O'Keeffe's home in New Mexico, are not for sale. Golf courses in Redmond and Kent have been sold. The costly Stratolaunch space venture went to an unknown buyer. The Upstream Music Fest, begun in 2017, was not held this year. Vulcan Real Estate is the crown jewel of the empire. Meanwhile, at the end of 2018, the Allen Foundation had $913 million in assets. Czech TV reports sea lion rescued in Powell River after being shot with crossbow. A California sea lion hit by a crossbow was likely suffering for weeks before being rescued in Powell River, according to officials. A team from Fisheries and Oceans Canada alongside Vancouver Aquarium Marine Mammal Rescue staff went to Powell River after receiving reports of a wounded, emaciated, and lethargic sea lion hauled out on a log boom at a mill. The sea lion was taken to the Vancouver Aquarium Marine Mammal Rescue Center for treatment. The sea lion, estimated to be 250 kilograms, has a massive puncture wound, is severely dehydrated, and is underweight. The animal was not able to search for food due to a bolt stuck in its body. And this week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. Victoria political agency broke privacy code, but toothless law means no fines for aggregate IQ. Documents offer a glimpse into the RCMP investigation of the legislature scandal. And Lee says he told Coleman about Chinese officers searching his BlackBerry, but BC's ex-deputy premier denies. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The Victoria political advertising company that worked on digital campaigns for BC Liberals Todd Stone and Mike DeYoung and made worldwide news for its role in the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal broke privacy laws. That was the conclusion of a joint report released November 26th in Vancouver by British Columbia and Canada's privacy watchdogs. Aggregate IQ failed to gain consent for the collection, use, or disclosure of personal information, and the company put the personal information of 35 million people in jeopardy. Federal Privacy Commissioner Daniel Therrien and BC Information and Privacy Commissioner Michael McAvoy released their report at a news conference in Vancouver. The Breaker.News was there. British Columbia's Information and Privacy Commissioner Michael McAvoy summarizes the investigation and its findings.
Well, we found some of AIQ's services were covered by the consent of individuals. In many other instances, they were not. This included micro-targeted online profiling using social media, which was clearly not based on consent. Most concerning was AIQ's work in the U.S. In the report, we describe how the company built a database to store and organize a vast amount of personal information about voters. This information was provided by SCL Elections and Cambridge Analytica. It came from a variety of sources, including social media scraping and the data that Dr. Alexander Kogan obtained from Facebook and organized into psychographic profiles for purposes of voter targeting. We also examined AIQ's data security practices. We found that they left usernames, passwords, and encryption keys to some of its databases exposed, putting at risk the personal information of 35 million voters in the U.S., the U.K., and B.C. In doing so, AIQ failed to take reasonable security measures to ensure that personal information under its control was secure from unauthorized access or disclosure.
Canada's Privacy Commissioner Daniel Therrien on what the aggregate IQ investigation means for Canadians.
Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal last year served to expose some of the troubling practices used in political campaigns. With AIQ, we now have a Canadian player playing a key role in the troubling ecosystem of political campaigning in the digital era. This is too close for comfort. Digital tools can amass huge amounts of personal information. As we and others have demonstrated, that data is then analyzed and used for intrusive targeting techniques aimed at swaying how we cast our ballots. These activities have put the integrity of our democratic processes at significant risk. They also raise important issues for our privacy rights. Personal information about political views can be very sensitive and is clearly worthy of strong privacy protections. Fortunately, there is currently a gaping hole in terms of protection. Political parties collect vast amounts of data about voters, and yet British Columbia is the only jurisdiction in Canada that expressly regulates the privacy practices of political parties. My office has repeatedly called for federal political parties to be explicitly covered by privacy legislation.
BC Commissioner McAvoy on Aggregate IQ's work in British Columbia and around the world.
We looked at their operations here in British Columbia and other places in Canada. Certainly what we found in British Columbia, in a number of instances, they were gathering from clients Facebook data, which they were uploading to Facebook for analytic purposes and for what are called custom audiences. In our view, that is not would not be within the expectation of British Columbians who would have given that information to those parties. And to that extent, they, in fact, were not in compliance with British Columbia privacy laws. So, in fact, I think Cambridge Analytica, Facebook, that whole story, I think, has seismic implications around the world, including in Canada and British Columbia, where over 600,000 named Canadians were involved in that. I think, to a great extent, it is shaken Canadians and British Columbians' confidence in the political campaign system. That is critically fundamental in a democratic society where trust is often in short supply. And what we need to do, and this investigation I think demonstrates it, is that we need to have tougher regulations to ensure that Canadians, the public, voters have trust and confidence in their political campaigning system at the heart of our democracy. So it means a great deal to both British Columbians and Canadians, and I would say global citizenry as well.
I would add the fact that this is not rocket science, but data travels across borders. And here, although the consequences of the inappropriate use of data was felt in part and perhaps in large part, although not exclusively, in the UK and the US, it was companies that operate across borders need to be regulated in all of the territories in which they operate. And the fact that we had a Canadian company here involved in offering services outside Canada, and that this company was subject to Canadian laws and Canadian privacy commissioner's jurisdiction, was helpful. We were able to find things. We were able to cooperate with our UK colleagues and within Canada between the federal and the provincial offices. That's all good for privacy protection.
The investigation report does not name Aggregate IQ clients. McAvoy explains why. He also explains why a company like Aggregate IQ is so valuable to political parties in the 21st century.
We looked at a number of clients that AIQ was working with in British Columbia. The subject of this investigation was AIQ, and it wasn't those clients, and that's the reason they're not named in the report. But yes, there is some overlap between the two matters because political parties, as you can imagine, are hungry to get information about voters, and they are wanting to utilize the latest in technology tools. They want to utilize firms like AIQ, which allow them to target their message at voters, getting as much data as they can. The thing is, though, that they need to play within the rules, and in gathering that information, we have a consent-based system here in British Columbia, Canada, and in British Columbia, that system applies to political parties, unlike the rest of Canada. It means that essentially those parties have to get the consent of voters to use their information in the way that they want to and have AIQ, for example, on their behalf, use it. And so we found in this instance, in the instances with British Columbia clients, that always wasn't happening. AIQ needed to make more of an effort to ensure they were compliant with the law, making sure that their clients had consent from the voters that they were getting information from. And in a number of instances, we found out that wasn't so.
British Columbians saw the rise of the Chinese social media app WeChat during the 2018 municipal elections and the recent federal election. The offshore app, which is censored by Beijing and has been connected to the Communist Party's foreign influence campaign, offers another challenge to privacy regulators in Canada. Commissioner Therrien.
We haven't dealt with that issue per se. What I would say is that foreign companies that ultimately reach a Canadian audience will usually have partnerships with Canadian companies, and that's one way to ensure that the management of personal information is regulated under Canadian law. But beyond that, you're obviously raising a serious challenge.
And it also speaks to regulators working together. Privacy laws certainly differ across jurisdictions, but there are much that we have in common with colleagues around the world in terms of protecting people's privacy. So cooperation at a federal and provincial level, as you've seen in this investigation, is really important. But cooperation internationally is very important because data crosses boundaries in speed of light. And so whether that means our colleagues at the Federal Trade Commission in the United States, the ICO in the UK, our European colleagues in the Asia-Pacific, British Columbia is a leader with the Asia-Pacific privacy authorities. But in many ways, this cooperation is really in its infancy. And again, as companies build themselves out, regulators have to build themselves out, but government has to give us the tools to make sure that we can do that job properly. It's more than just obviously privacy regulators involved in this picture. You've got election interference issues, and so our election commissioners are very alert to these issues, our human rights issues, around a whole range of issues where, in fact, regulators like ourselves, I think, are increasingly looking to be cooperating with other authorities. You will note that when I undertook the political parties investigation in BC, I worked closely with the chief elections officer here because there's much overlap between the two authorities. So it's not just us as regulators, but there's others as well that come to grips with these issues.
Will aggregate IQ be disciplined? The short answer is no.
No fines because we do not have the authority to levy fines. And to be clear, that is authority we believe regulators in Canada should have. My office should have to act as a deterrent to ensure that the public knows somebody is looking after their interest and to ensure somebody has their back.
To McAvoy, what was the most egregious finding of the investigation?
Probably the U.S. Work that they did. I think what AIQ said to us was that they gathered all of this data, and it was massive through a structure that they helped build for SCL company, Project Ripon, as it was called. And it ingested vast amounts of data, and AIQ's response to the collection of that data, and did they collect it lawfully? They said, well, there's basically no law that exists in the United States by which their clients obtained that information. To which we say as regulators, well, you operate here in British Columbia and in Canada, and regardless of what's going on down in the U.S., you have an obligation to ensure that that data was collected with consent. So it was from ethnicity to race to voting voting intentions in past elections, obviously pretty sensitive information, and the psychographic information, the psychological profiles of voters, all of this was put into a data-crunching machine to an extent constructed by AIQ, and all of that data used without the consent of those voters. It's one of the reasons the U.S. now just waking up to this. It was sort of known and for many years as sort of a anything goes, but California legislators are now looking at toughening up legislation there. There's a view that this has to be dealt with on a federal level in the United States, too, that there need to be rules in place. So the United States is catching up on this action as well, but I think, in short, I think it was the collection of the and use of the U.S. data was probably the most egregious.
At his November 28th news conference, B.C. Premier John Horgan said he would be happy to sit down and talk with Commissioner McAvoy about amending the law to give the commissioner the power to impose fines. He said he had not seen any requests for legislation come to cabinet yet to give the commissioner more power, but he said, quote, I'm open to that suggestion, end quote. I spoke with Aggregate IQ Chief Operating Officer Jeff Sylvester, but he declined to do a taped interview for this podcast. Sylvester said he did not feel as if there was no penalty to the company. He said, quote, we have cooperated throughout the whole process. It probably would have been cheaper to not cooperate, but that's not how we do business, end quote. Sylvester said that in reference to the federal law that contains a fine of up to $100,000 for obstructing an investigation. Sylvester also told me that he is disappointed that it took 2 years to complete the investigation, and it likely deterred clients from his company. He said his company has vowed to cooperate with the recommendations. Sylvester declined to talk about his clients, but denied his company is involved in any nefarious activities. Quote, "What we do is help our clients to get their message out to the people who need to hear it most effectively," end quote. Sylvester did confirm that Aggregate IQ does remain banned from Facebook. The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Vancouver Police Constables Courtney Park and Joelle Sexsmith for recovering the mobility scooter stolen from a West Vancouver Air Force veteran. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting. Custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 1st, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on December 1st in 1918, Iceland became a sovereign state within the Danish kingdom? It finally became a republic in 1944. Now you know. Send me your feedback and send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.